Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
Still looking at pornography. Afterwards, it was just empty. I felt like I was dying. And I sat down to look and I had these thoughts. It was like hearing a voice. You know where this road leads. You know it's going to feel empty. You're going to feel shame. If you get up right now, I'm going to give you the power to never look at this stuff again.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
And
power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I
are a part of it.
We are not.
We're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Empty. That was how Daniel Gallet described his life. He had tried to fill the void with drinking, drugs, pornography, but none of it could make the ache go away, and he was getting desperate. Then one day he had an encounter so powerful, he was convinced God is real, and he could fill that void. This is chapter 15 of Epic, Daniel Gallet's story. Would you describe yourself as a person of faith growing up?
Yeah, so growing up, our family is kind of, I don't even know if I would say nominal Christians. Like, there was a time that we went to church, a very traditional background, Catholic. So there was like a Sunday thing for a little while. And then there was a time that my mom got connected with these Baptists. And, you know, they're real friendly, real personable. And she started going to that church. It actually created a lot of tension in the family, you know, but there was a time during that time where we went to church regularly. My dad wouldn't go because he thought it's like this Baptist Catholic thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we went to see this, I don't know what he was, an evangelist. He basically got radically transformed by God. He was a drummer in a band, did drugs, all that kind of stuff, got radically transformed and encountered God, and then now went around and just spoke. And so we went to this thing.
Your mom led that, I'm guessing.
My mom took us, as kids. I was 8 years old. I'm blind in my right eye, and so he was praying for healing at the end of this thing. So when I was 5, I had an accident with my eye, and so I'm legally blind. I have a man-made pupil. I got in the line that he was doing prayer for healing. Like, okay, so this is...
So as an 8-year-old with not much background in this, was this... Were you freaked out or was it just interesting?
It was very intriguing.
Okay.
I was very You know, just like, I don't know, like childlike faith or whatever. You know, just kind of like, sure. So I got in line and then he was just praying for people. And he asked me if I believed in Jesus. And at the time we were going to church and I think I had even been baptized in that Baptist church. And so I was like, I really do.
Oh.
And, he was like, okay, he kind of giggled because it was so like, I don't know, I think very fervent. And so then he laid his hands on me and he prayed for healing and I felt this huge flush and then I fell over. And then like people actually were behind me to catch me. I was like, what is going on? But I had all the strength left my body. I fell over.
Wow.
And then on the floor, I was like, what just happened? You know, I was just like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember telling all my friends and afterwards, they're like, no way. I'm like, yeah, dude. Anyway. But that was kind of like, now that I'm a pastor now and all this come, I look back and go, look, God was like doing stuff in me even way back then. But that was kind of a moment, probably a year and a half span. And it created so much tension in the family. My mom, my dad would, you know, lock my mom out and... Mm. That kind of stuff when she'd go to a Bible study and it just created. So my dad was an alcoholic and so just a lot of tension there. We kind of stopped going to church and then I guess into junior high and into high school and then into college. Like I basically believed, you know, with all that was going on in my family, it was almost like I thought if there is a God, he's not very involved. It was almost like I even forgot that big power encounter at 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's not very involved, and I don't know if I ever went atheist, but it was more like there's no practical application to this faith. And my mom, you know, just kind of got so shut down. I knew she believed, and I even think my dad believed at a level. I heard him praying one day to God, you know, out of frustration, you know, sometimes those real, like, rare, rare, rare kind of prayers. But, I mean, he's talking to somebody.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how it was. In some ways, a normal upbringing, but probably that those really hard times of kind of an alcoholic family, mm-hmm. where there's like combating and that kind of stuff.
We
were taken away a couple times. My mom took us away to try to get us away from all that. Then he, you know, said, oh, I'll quit. And he did quit, but still emotionally and all that stuff. So it was kind of a tumultuous upbringing, and faith was not very present, but it was present that one time.
So when you went off to college, were you ready to get away from family?
I first went to University of Florida.
Oh, okay.
The University of Florida is 2.5 hours away. Big university. And I didn't go as wild as some of my friends did, but I went wild, you know, partying and smoking and, you know, just doing light drugs. Mm-hmm. I didn't go like, there's some crazier levels, but mm-hmm. I definitely partied. And that's kind of when the internet was becoming real prevalent.
Accessible.
And very accessible. And so that's kind of where, along with partying, I stumbled upon things like pornography, and that became an addiction during that time. And yeah, it was just kind of like a finding myself, you know, moment where, like, who am I? What is this about? I felt like this emptiness inside. Like, I'm looking back, mm-hmm. I know that's what that was. Like, in the moment, I didn't know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there just felt like there's something off, there's something wrong, I need to fill this void. And so I think the partying and, mm-hmm. you know, hooking up, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, that was all part of it. And people on the outside looked at me, and I wasn't that kind of crazy partier. But from my side of things, I was like, this is not me, but I'm doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have all this freedom. And so I know now that I was filling mm-hmm. With drinking and drugs and pornography, I was filling this like ache inside.
Yeah.
Like I felt like this hole.
And did it work for a time? Did it make you feel something or better, or I don't know?
You know, interestingly, like, I don't think so.
Huh.
I think after, it's like, you know, there's the next day.
Yeah.
During a party, during whatever,
yeah.
feels great. Fun. We're having so much fun. Next day, when you're by yourself, when you're thinking about things, when you're taking a walk, when you're doing everyday life, it felt pretty empty. It was like, yeah.
So you were doing the partying, the dabbling in pornography. Would you have said you were addicted to pornography at that point, or just?
Yeah, yes.
Okay.
I would say that was where the addiction started, and then it just kind of grew, you know, where maybe hour to a day. I don't know. Eventually it got to a bad place,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you kind of feel guilty. What am I doing? What is this? What's going on? Then you try to stop, and then inside there's always something that was saying, this is not you. And I know that really clearly now that I know Jesus, but
right.
before then it was like, that was there all this time. Even friends inviting me to church for Easter. Like, I just remember going, and yeah, there was something in me that knew I needed something.
So how did you end up, tell me the journey to Jesus. How did that happen?
I was kind of like internally spiraling. Outside, I was the first person to go to college in my whole family, even extended family. Now there's several that have, but so outside I look like a success. We have a college kid, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was doing pretty well in school. So, I mean, you know, now going to get my master's, but inside it was just like emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. And I was doing a voice performance and doing a lot of auditions, and I even actually succeeded pretty well. I would win some competition, stuff like that, but even that would not fulfill something. So I actually had this weird opportunity to go over to Germany, and my friends were running this musical theater program, and they just invited me to come and help them do it. And so I kind of suspended school, and I just moved over there for a couple years. And my friends also, you know, I knew them before Jesus, and then they had become missionaries. So they were missionaries also over there in Germany. And they had this powerful thing with Jesus. So they had come to know Jesus. And so I was like, you know, real close friends with them. And they just started inviting me to church over there in Germany. So this is like kind of weird. Like, I'm over in Germany where,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, 2% go to church
mm-hmm.
over there, right? It's way lower than America. So yeah. And in this little German church, like, when I went to church before, I was like, what are they talking about? And I don't understand things. And it was kind of like, this is just so irrelevant. Like, it just never spoke to me. It was so like, I don't want to rail on that tradition. I've gone back to like more traditional churches now, and I'm like, oh, I totally get this. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is like really rich. But back then it just was not,
that didn't
hit.
Didn't connect for you.
So I'm in this little church in Germany, and I'm starting to understand what the guy is talking about. And then in worship, something happened. I felt something. And it was like this peace that all that void, it just kept going. It would go away. Like wow. When I was in worship.
Had you ever experienced that?
No, never like that. This was like totally different, something I'd never experienced. So
are you still drinking or drugging or pornographing?
Yes.
During this time?
All during this time.
Okay.
And
all right.
So that moment going to church, and there was one key, you know, even my friends were like, so they could tell I was in this seeking place, and, you know, so I would do that. And then during the week, you know, I was working in Germany as an English instructor and would go out and just drink with the other instructors, and I don't know, it just was like this dual life.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And my friends were like, here, read the Bible. And I was like, no, I don't want to read that. It's boring. It's irrelevant. But I would still go to church, you know. But, you know, during this moment, there was like this, you know, so still looking at pornography. And, you know, afterwards, it was just like empty. I felt like I was dying. And part of this, growing up, a little bit of history, you know, there's this pornography addiction, but I also was struggling with my sexuality. And so there were a few things that God showed me later that had happened as I was a kid. Like, I was abused by a neighbor kid, you know, alcoholic father. So a real strained relationship with my father, immensely teased in junior high, just about being effeminate or things mm-hmm. like that. And mm-hmm. so I didn't know all this then, but I was in this place where addicted to pornography, struggling with sexuality, I just wanted to commit suicide. So this is when I was in Germany.
So it crescendoed in Germany.
Yeah, it was all just like, I'm surrounded by amazing mountains, mm-hmm. Alps, looking at God's beauty, and I'm just struggling. I'm like, what am I going to do? Am I going to go into this lifestyle? Something feels wrong. It was just huge amount of just internal struggle. There were several like power, I would call them power encounters that mm-hmm. that shifted. And one of them with the pornography. So, you know, I was telling you, like, in worship, I'd feel this presence, this peace, and, yeah. like, everything was going to be okay. And, like, that void, that was even, like, gone. So I remember in an office by myself, I lived in this place. It was mostly empty. It was like a big, camp center. That's where I was staying. And I was in the office there, and I was going to look at pornography. And what I now know is the Holy Spirit, but I didn't know then. I just thought, this feels like God, I think. I don't know what's going on. I sat down to look, and I heard this, you know, had these thoughts. It was like hearing a voice, but inside my head, and said, you know where this road leads. You know it's going to feel empty. You're going to feel shame. You're going to feel guilty. If you get up right now, I'm going to give you the power to never look at this stuff again.
Was it really true? Could he really stand up and walk away and be free from addiction that had gripped him for years? Daniel was starting to believe that maybe there was more to God than he'd realized. The rest of Daniel's story is coming up after this. Welcome back to Epic. Thanks for listening today. If you enjoy today's show, head to our website where you can check out other episodes. We believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story. Tell us about yours at myfaithradio.com. Today, we're hearing Daniel Goulet's story. He had spent years trying to fill the void in his life with things that only led to addiction and decay. But now God was offering him a supernatural way out. Here's part two of Daniel's story.
I sat down to look, and, you know, had these thoughts. It was like hearing a voice, but inside my head. And said, you know where this road leads. You know it's going to feel empty. You're going to feel shame. You're going to feel guilty. If you get up right now, I'm going to give you the power to never look at this stuff again.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was sitting there just having this I don't even know if it was a conversation. I was just hearing this voice in my head as I was getting ready to look at pornography. And I was at that place where I was like, you know, I need something. I don't want to do this. I don't want this to be my life. It was like, this was a very pivotal moment. And I just said, okay. And I got up and I walked out, and that was the last time.
Oh my God.
And that's like probably 14 plus years now.
Do you think you realized at the moment the weight of what was happening?
I don't think I knew how. I mean, I look back now and I go, whoa, dude, that was like, and
because
as I pastored.
So unusual.
Yes. As I pastored people,
yes.
Like it's not like that most of the time.
Right.
So I think, yeah, I didn't realize how powerful it was, but I mean, there was a change.
Did you think it was God as you walked away?
Oh yeah.
You did. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did think it was God, but I don't know. It's hard to go back into that moment.
Sure.
'Cause I knew I was. It was like, what is happening? It was almost like, but I knew it was God. Like deep down, I
yes,
knew.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any language to say, the
yeah.
Holy Spirit told me.
You know, yeah,
it's like,
right.
He's the one who gave me the power for this, you know? And it was before I had really even said a big yes to Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people have those. I think I just had several moments like that that eventually became, all of a sudden, now I'm a follower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did have that moment where I kind of raised my hand and all that, but I think it was before that.
Yes.
In my heart.
Yes.
You know, that was more like the public declaration of what had happened already inside.
So from that point, was more encounters after that? What happened?
Yeah, so that was a big moment. I think.
Did you ever, were you tempted again?
Yeah, so
okay.
here's the interesting thing. And as I've counseled some people through this, I didn't realize what was happening. Like, Lord, why is this happening for me like this?
Yeah.
And as I've counseled people, you know, they're having to put stuff on their computers and then they fail and then all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it is only in the last 5 years, actually, that I've realized what I feel like God said, you believed me. And then you received. You know, he says, ask me for whatever I want. I think this is Mark 11:24. Ask me for whatever I want and believe you have received it and it will be yours. I believed him.
You got up.
I got up and you know, so when the temptation came, it was almost like, so there were several moments over the years. There's been several moments where like I feel a strong pull, or you see a pop-up ad and you feel this strong pull.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like God has given me like wisdom past the event. So I look at that and I go, that's empty. That's
I know where that
false.
Goes.
That's, I know where this goes. I don't want that. It's not like he took the desire away, because the temptation is still there, but he gave me the wisdom past it and show me how empty and how there's just no hope there. There's no life there. There's no, I can see past it. It's almost like vision or prophetic vision or something. The post and my life now is so compelling that it's just, yeah, that's just not worth it. I'm just not going to go there.
So you've mentioned that you've counseled some people who struggle with this. What do you say if for somebody who's listening and maybe secretly they've been struggling with this for years and they really don't have hope that they could ever be delivered of it? What would you say to someone in that position?
Well, definitely get with somebody. It doesn't have to be a lot of people. Someone you trust that's honest, that knows Jesus, that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd say those are some prerequisites. You know, my friends, like my two missionary friends, when I was able to share openly and honestly, not only about pornography, but just my struggle with sexuality, that was huge. And they didn't condemn me. They didn't be like, well, you better stop that. They just said, thank you for trusting us. And we love you. And we're going to be with us. I mean, that was like another huge
moment.
But I would say with somebody, you know, find a trusted person. And then I would just say this boldly now, that person can't be your accountability partner. Software on your computer, phone, all of that, those are really only hitting the symptoms. And I'm not saying for a time you don't use them. I'm not totally against that, but it's not the root. And you got to find the root. What are you filling that Jesus needs to fill? What are you not believing about Jesus? And see, that's the key for me. I believed him. And he showed me, and it's like, that is just empty. It's God designed us to be fulfilled in a certain way. Like now I have a wife and three kids and marriage is just amazing. And it's like, that's how God meant it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all just like counterfeits, and the enemy is so good at a counterfeit. And so I'd say if you're doing all that stuff, don't stop just there. because you'll find a way around it. And everybody I've counseled, 3 months later, yeah, I messed up again. And then usually we're like, oh, okay, it's a, you know, and we pray for you. But they're not finding the root. Are you hungry to really be free? I think I was at that point where I was so hungry to be free. I mean, I was suicidal. And
right.
I know that's like, you mm-hmm. know, that's the enemy. That's demonic when mm-hmm. you're suicidal. I was desperate, you
yeah.
know. How desperate are you? Do you want to be? You have to know that that life is so counterfeit and you'll never be fulfilled there. And God has this amazing plan in life now, not just in heaven. It's not just hold on till you get to heaven. Like, there's abundant life now, and it's possible. I just think if you have someone like helping you through that part, you'll be able to get rid of all that other stuff. You know, and I know that's probably maybe that's a bold statement. I don't know in the Christian world to say that, but I think there's full freedom, not from the temptation, from acting on it. Yeah, temptation's all around. It's on. I mean, you look mm-hmm. at TV. It's almost
more than ever.
Almost impossible. You know, I'm raising kids now, and I'm like, I don't want to teach you to try to avoid all that stuff. Yeah. I want to teach you that there's no life in that stuff. Mm-hmm. And just like, yeah, I see that because you're going to see it. I'm not trying, you know, I'm not like crazy. Like, we have protection on our internet and all that. I'm trying to like teach them to connect with the Holy Spirit and realize there's empty. Here's what God really intended,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so that kind of stuff. But so a trusted person that can pray with you, but that you would be hungry for the real freedom. Where is Jesus? Where are you not believing Jesus? Because that's where it was for me. I didn't even know he was real. I didn't know Jesus had power, you know, power to live free from that stuff. Like, that's grace, right? So.
Yeah. So I'm really curious. So from the moment you got up and walked away, tell me about your spiritual journey.
Yeah, so to me, that was probably an eye-opening, heart-opening, like, God is real. Jesus is alive. He's real. There's power. I just didn't know he was interactive, alive. I mm-hmm. think I kind of believed in him. I told you I never went that far, but that's power. I'd never experienced this kind of power. And, you know, think back to that 8-year-old. Okay, that was God's power too, but this is something like where I'm getting life from it, and something that was really literally killing me. I was decaying inside. God's giving me power to live this out. So spiritual journey. I eventually did read the Bible. I started reading the Bible. I started getting hungry for that. It was like after that encounter. And I said, hey, so do you still have that Bible? All of a sudden, I took this train from this little village I lived in Germany to Munich. And it was an hour ride. And, you know, I had a Palm Pilot and I had the Bible on it. And I just devoured. I was just hungry for the word, like hungry about Jesus, just hungry. I don't know. But there was one verse that, you know, and I think, you know, you're talking about, you know, what would you tell some people struggling? 1 Corinthians 10:13 was probably the first verse that, you know, how you like read the Bible and then it reads you.
Yeah.
You know, where it sticks out or you go, oh, what's happening? Oh, I feel something. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And that was huge for me. You know, sometimes you think, no one has it like me. No
right.
one understands.
Right.
You know, so that was kind of like, okay, you know, this is not like an uncommon thing. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Or one translation even say, so you can stand up against it. There's a way out. There's freedom. There always is a choice. And that's what I've realized, you know, going back to that, those moments is like, you got a choice and you have the power to do it. You know, that's why he says, flee, run, mm-hmm. run the race and flee from sexual immorality. I think Paul says it. I think he's actually literal there. Flee physically. Like when I physically got out of that room and walked away, that was that verse.
It was powerful.
He showed me a way out and I took it and I've been able to endure. I didn't know life could be adventurous and exciting, and Jesus has just changed everything. And so I think there's all kinds of addictions. There's all, you know, there's pornography. There's all kinds of things that we can fill our lives with. But now I'm going on what, 15 years following him, and it's just getting better and better. And there's been some low valleys, but I just know that there's so much more freedom for an abundant life. It's not an easy life, but it can be abundant and fulfilling. I would never say any of this has been like easy, and it's hard, but it's amazing at the same time. And I've never been more fulfilled in my life.
Daniel's journey from a place of addiction to the fulfilling life he has now is extraordinary. God led Daniel back to the United States, where he continued to grow in his faith. And today he's a pastor. And Daniel says what God did to him, he now does through him. He has the privilege of coming alongside others who struggle with addiction, especially pornography, to help them find freedom too. So grateful to Daniel for sharing his story. You know, we believe everybody's got a story. Share yours with us at myfaithradio.com. That's also where you can find other episodes of Epic and share one with a friend. And if you haven't already, download the My Faith Radio app. You can listen to the live stream, access shows you've missed, and read the latest articles there. It takes a whole lot of people to make an episode of Epic happen. I'm so grateful to Jason Rakow and Ted Ross for help with production. Our show's theme song was written by Stephen Johnson, and I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.